Okay. Good morning. Today we're going to learn Parakei of the Tiferes Yisrael. Where the focus is on explaining a specific Mamar Chazal that we find perhaps the most famous or most well-known Mishnah in a certain sense, just because, or I should say most well-known, but the most often recited Mishnah in Shas, which is the Mishnah of Rabbi Chananya ben Akashia. Eimer Retzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakei says Yisrael Fikah Chir B'lehem Taro Mitzvahs. And he's still on the subject of the benefits of Torah for us. Remember, that's the theme of the first bunch of Parakim. And last week we talked about the numbering of the mitzvahs, the 365 los aseis and the 248 mitzvahs asei, you know, the structure of the mitzvahs that way. So here today he's talking about the general notion of ribui mitzvahs, of having a lot of mitzvahs, which we find the Mishnah addressed, the last Mishnah Maseches Makos, where Rabbi Chananya ben Akashia says, in a Mishnah which we repeat very often at the end of learning where people want to say a Kaddish, Rabbi Chananya ben Akashia said, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakei says Yisrael, Hashem wanted to give merit, or to purify perhaps the Jewish people, L'fikach Chir B'lehem Torah Mitzvahs, therefore he gave them a lot of Torah and Mitzvahs, as it says, Hashem Chafet L'man Tzidka Yagdil Torah V'Yadir, Hashem wanted for his sake of his righteousness to make Torah grow and be strong. So that's the idea. Now, there's evidently some benefit to the Jewish people for having a lot of mitzvahs. And that's what he wants to discuss here in this parak. As he says, as he formulates the question, Dovar zeh neged haseichel, this would seem to be counterintuitive. Why? Why would you say that it's a chus for the Jewish people to have a lot of mitzvahs? Maybe the Jewish people would be better off, maybe it would be a greater zchus for the Jewish people if they would have less mitzvahs. Why? Because if they have less mitzvahs, there would be less things to do wrong. There would be less things that you have to do in order to find yourself in the Olam Haba. Right? Why do we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mezakeh the Jewish people, so he gave them so many mitzvahs? It makes it harder. It doesn't make it easier. That's the question which he wants to come to deal with here in this parak. And he starts in dealing with this by quoting the Rambam there in the Pirush HaMishnayos. Famous Rambam, classic Rambam, which Maral does not like. Okay, the Rambam says there that the reason is like this, says the Rambam. I mean, he quotes the Rambam in full. Me'ikrei ho amuna b'tayra, just happened to, by the way, teach about this Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos yesterday. When we were learning Pirkei Avos, it came up. One of the fundamentals of belief in Torah is when a person keeps a mitzvah, the Torah mitzvahs properly and fully. And he has no ulterior motive. He does it altruistically. The Rambam says all it takes is one mitzvah done purely and altruistically for a person to merit the Olam Haba. So Rav Chanina says, given that that's the case, if there are more mitzvahs, then there are more options out there where a person is going to be able to find that one mitzvah that they're going to do properly. And in doing that mitzvah, he's going to give his life that eternity through that action. That's the trick, says the Rambam. All it takes is one. If in order to get into Olam Haba you had to do all the mitzvahs, then the more mitzvahs it is, the more challenging it is. But if all it takes is one mitzvah to get into the Olam Haba, so then you understand that the more mitzvahs you have, the more options you have. And says the Rambam, all it takes is one mitzvah done really purely and correctly to get into the Olam Haba. What?
What does it do with Los Hasseis? Because you don't really do them, you're not doing them.
Good question.
Not doing properly.
Huh? That's right. Where does a person ever get schar for a lois asei? Person gets schar for a lois asei when the person is specifically challenged on the lois asei. right? A person is tempted and they pass it up, then they get schar for the lois aseh. So, same thing. If a person avoids doing something wrong purely for no ulterior motive, it'll be the same thing, right? The Rambam's classic example of Kiddush Hashem, right, which is very related to this. I don't know if we'll have a chance to get into it that much, but is Yosef HaTzadik, right? When what did he do? He just withstood the wife of Potiphar. Right? He was tempted. He was sorely tempted, severely tempted. He separated from her for no reason in the world, purely for good reasons. It was not going to help him in any other way. And for that, that's the great Kiddush Hashem of Yosef HaTzadik. That's a ticket to Olam Haba. So that's what the Rambam says. Now, he brings a proof to this. The proof he brings to it is Rav Chanina ben Tradyon's story. Rav Chanina ben Tradyon, the Gemara says the story before it talks about the death of Rav Chanina ben Tradyon. Right? So he said, Ma ani l'chaya l'maba. What's going to be my story? Am I going to be able to get into the Olam Haba? So he said to him, Klum Aisa b'liyodcha. Right? The Gemara says the story it was Rav Yosi ben Kisma that Rav Chanina ben Tradyon was meeting. He went to visit him. He said, what's the story with me and Olam Haba? So he said, tell me, Klum Aisa b'liyodcha, have any outstanding stories? Amar lo, he said, Moishel Purim nischalfu li b'moishel tztaka v'chilaktim le'aniyim. What happened was, Rav Chanina ben Tradyon was a gabai tztaka, and he said, the money of Purim that I had, the money of Purim that I had, which was money, as Rashi learns, for my own Sudas Purim, got mixed up with my tztaka monies. I gave it all out to tztaka, including my own Purim money, right? Because it got mixed up together, and I never, tried to be reimbursed or anything from the Kupa Shel Tztaka. I let it all go to the Kupa Shel Tztaka. So he said, Im Kain, if that's the case, Mechelkecha Yehechelki, Migaroch Yehegairoli, I wish I would have some of your portion. I wish I would have some of your lot. So what's going on over here? Right? So says the Rambam, here you have an exhibit A. One Maisa, one deed, and that's his answer how he gets Olam Haba. So that shows this idea, which the Rambam says is Ikar HaEmunah, that one deed is enough to get you into the Olam Haba. And therefore you can understand why Hashem made many mitzvahs, so you have many portals to the Olam Haba. That's the way the Rambam says it. The Maral doesn't understand the Rambam, doesn't like the Rambam, doesn't accept the Rambam. He says, how can you say that one mitzvah gets you into the Olam Haba? When you have a whole sugya in Rosh Hashanah, which is not just a Gemara someplace, right, but it informs our whole understanding of how the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur season works. When we speak about it, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and he looks at the merits of the person, and he looks at the failings of the person, and they're weighed one against the other. However you understand that, you understand it superficially, you understand it with depth, but it's taking into cheshbon everything which the person does. And we have to consider the predominance of the person's actions. If the person is doing more good things, more inclined to good things than the opposite, then they have one status. If they're doing more negative things, then they have another status. Where in that entire sugya do you find the notion of one action done well is your meal ticket? We don't have such a thing. We look at the totality of everything the person does. So if that's the case, then again we have the same question. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all of these mitzvahs, so then we have all of these opportunities to fail, all these opportunities not to do things right, it makes it more difficult. It would seem there would be a greater merit for the Jewish people, and would give us a greater chance for success if we would have less mitzvahs, and then we'd be able to do it better. So he doesn't like the Rambam's pshat. He says it apparently contradicts the general view of what Chazal say. And therefore, so to speak, we're back to the drawing board. What are we going to do? How do we understand what it means? Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Zakeh Es Yisrael. Good question. It's a good kasha on the Rambam. Yeah?
We're supposed to consider ourselves as Benonim. So then perhaps that we have now many opportunities to get that one mitzvah that will put this down.
But what makes us Benonim?
Okay.
What makes us Beinonim is looking at a whole picture of all the different mitzvahs. There's not just one mitzvah. There's a whole picture of all the many, many different mitzvahs.
What, no matter what the combination of the many mitzvahs that we have done or haven't done over the years, we still somehow are Beinonim. So then there's only that one mitzvah that can make all the difference.
It's very hard to put that into the Rambam. Very hard to put that into the whole idea. We're a Beinoni as a result of the many, many mitzvahs which HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have given us that puts us in the middle. So that one mitzvah is not standing by itself. That one mitzvah is a mitzvah that tips the scales, in a broad range. I think it's hard to put it in the Rambam. One man's opinion.
Isn't it also that there are two different perspectives here? One perspective is the actual the emes, the cheshbon, where you are, if you've done rove mitzvos or not. But that formula, exactly how that comes out, we don't know. So therefore, we have to look at ourselves. Perhaps we should look at ourselves as Beinonim, but that's not necessarily the emes where we are. We may be very much
right. To some degree, that's definitely part of it. Is that like the Rambam says, a person should look at the whole world that way. Look at realize. View each action as being the action that could make it or break it.
Well, that's the sugya on lama test.
What do you mean?
The sugya on lama test and the kedushin he brings down here.
Yeah. That's there. But it's all still taking place within the context of many, many mitzvahs, and the result being a result of the total. This mitzvah will be mitzaref, will combine with the other one.
Why are we interpreting the Rambam? Why is Maran interpreting him narrowly that it's this to the exclusion of others? It's this one done above all others. I'm not saying not to do the other mitzvahs.
Now, the Rambam's certainly not saying not to do the other mitzvahs. And the Rambam is not saying that the other mitzvahs don't have any role whatsoever. But he's saying that through one mitzvah done right, you're going to get into the Olam Haba. Says the Maral, that doesn't seem to jive. If a person does one mitzvah right, and the rest of the time they spend stealing and murdering. How does that work? How does that go? So the Maral is going to go on to say other pshatim in this idea of Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zach Yisrael, very significant pshatim in Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are separate from the Rambam. I want to just take a moment to try to suggest an understanding of the Rambam, of what the Rambam means. The Rambam is not arguing with the idea that a person's general din is going to be contingent on Rav Zechuyos, Rav Averis, where HaKadosh Baruch is going to look at the whole picture of what the person does. What he's talking about is the person's entry to the Olam Haba. And the way we picture it is like this. Let's use an opposite situation. An exit from Olam Haba. Adam HaRishon was created and he was placed in Gan Eden. He was placed in Gan Eden and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, maybe gave him Sheva Mitzvahs, maybe gave him seven mitzvahs, right? According to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, from the beginning he had Sheva Mitzvahs. But we know one big mitzvah. What was the one big mitzvah? Not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He ate from the Eitz Hadas and suddenly he was shoved out of Olam Haba. What do you mean Olam Haba? He was sent out of Gan Eden, exiled from Gan Eden. He may have lived an eternal life, which is of course a characteristic of living in the Olam Haba. That's the Olam HaNitzchi, right? And then he went and was put into a world of mortality. Why? Because he ate from the Eitz Hadas, because he ate from the Tree of Knowledge. How did that happen? What happened there? That he ate from the Eitz Hadas? What was this Eitz Hadas anyways? What was it? Okay, so it was a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It didn't matter what it was, whether it was a date tree or a fig tree or a grape vine or a wheat, whatever it was, but it was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them not to do. So, I would want to just posit for you a way to view this Eitz Hadas. The Eitz Hadas was the Olam Hazeh embassy. It was the Olam Hazeh embassy in Olam Haba, in Gan Eden. There are two worlds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world of Gan Eden, which is a world fundamentally defined by the presence of Hashem filling it. A world of, to use that word which has become a little bit empty, a world of spirituality, right? A world of ruchnius, a world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mishalech b'seich HaGan, where the presence of Hashem was visible and tangible within that world. Where that which motivated, that which drove, that which was everything was that which was by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in the middle of that garden, he placed a tree. A tree that was built of another material, of Gashmias, of a drive towards Gashmias, of Tavahilainayim, of it was desirous, it was lustful, it was something which introduced into a person a different kind of motivation, a motivation which is foreign fundamentally to Gan Eden. It was so foreign to Gan Eden that a person who partook of it would have to leave Gan Eden. It was of a different kind of a thing. It was the kind of pleasures which are pleasures of the moment, not of eternity. Pleasures that are the pleasures of a world of mortality rather than of a world of eternity. So like a person here might want to, like Jonathan Pollard might struggle to get into the Israeli embassy in Washington so that even though he's in America, he's not in America, he's in Israel with all the privileges that would go along with that. So Adam Arishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, look, you know, you're here in Gan Eden, you could stay in Gan Eden, Gezunter Heit. But if you eat from that tree of knowledge, that is taking refuge in the world outside. And that's exactly what Adam Arishon did. He introduced into himself a motivation, a taste, which really took him out of the Olam Haba. Because now he had developed this taste for Olam Hazeh.
That was Erev Shabbos. Wasn't he supposed to eat it on Shabbos?
We'll have to leave that for now. That's if there would ever have become a mitzvah of eating from the Eitz Hadas, there is such a notion. Remember that when we eat on Shabbos, right? The Ramchal, for instance, writes in the Mesilas Yesharim, not in the mystical works, but in the Mesilas Yesharim, he writes a whole parak about precious, about separating from physical pleasures, and afterwards he writes, except for the days when Einig is a mitzvah. When physical pleasure becomes a mitzvah, like Shabbos. Somehow, eating even from the material things, but I think the material things on Shabbos, you know, takes on a different character. Okay, but that's not for now. Right now, that's what we would see it. Now, what happens instead? So Adam gets sent out into Eitz, into Olam Hazeh. Does Olam Hazeh have an embassy of Olam Haba? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the embassy of Olam Haba? You could say, if you're looking for a place, you look for the Beis HaMikdash. But what did Hashem send away Adam Arishon from the Gan Eden from? He said, I don't want you to eat from the Eitz HaChaim, from the Tree of Life. It's too accessible. But we have something called Eitz HaChaim. We call it, whenever we put the Sefer Torah back in the yard, we refer to it as the Eitz HaChaim. Right? The Torah is the embassy of Nitzchias, the embassy of eternity, the embassy of the world to come, the embassy of Gan Eden. The more a person partakes of that, the more a person develops a taste for the world to come. And the more the person gains, therefore, access, citizenship to the Olam Haba. A person could do mitzvahs in this world, but when they do mitzvahs in this world, they can do them within the frame of reference of this world. They can do them because of material benefits, material gains, still very much from a narrow perspective. It's not just the problem that the mitzvah wasn't so great because you had some extra ulterior motives for you to do it. And therefore, it's not such a great thing that you did. No. Forget measures of greatness. The question is, do you have to have a taste, an appreciation, an appetite for something beyond this world to have done what you've done? If you take the example of Yosef HaTzadik, right, there was no material, worldly reason for him to rebuff the wife of Potiphar. He was lonely. He had a strong taiva for a woman like anybody else. Chazal tells very clearly that he was struggling with that by a Faizu Zaraya Yadav in very graphic ways. He had that need. Nobody was around, and he knew that if he would turn her back, it would not be good for his employment position. Right? It would be beneficial for him to be with her that way. Instead, she would get upset with him. She would ruin his relationship with his boss. He would end up in jail. There was only one reason for him not to do it. And that was not of this world. Which means that Yosef had a taste for something which was not of this world. That is what we call Kiddush Hashem, bringing Hashem into the world. That is what the Rambam speaks about, where you get a taste of Olam Haba. Where you get entry into the Olam Haba. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at every action which a person does and weighs it all together in terms of figuring out the person's reward and punishment. However, to be able to have a foothold in eternity, it's not just that you have to have done good things. You have to have done things which have some taste of eternity built into them from how you did it. The Ramban writes, Eila mitzvos asher ya'aseh ois ha'adam v'chai bohem. Like, these are the mitzvahs that a person should do and live through them. Writes the Ramban, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It says, how you do the mitzvahs is how you're going to be rewarded by the mitzvahs. If you do the mitzvahs thinking that, you know, in the Torah it says that if I give tzedakah, so Hashem gives me tremendous blessing. So I'm going to give away 10% of my money, right? I'll give away my miser religiously. But you know what? Right? Because of that, I'm going to have a boon in my business. It may not be next week, but sometimes it's going to be that way. So, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to do? Shalom will say, yeah, taka. That's what I promised. That's what he'll get. Does that give the person Olam Haba? Why should you have Olam Haba? Olam Haba isn't about megabucks. Olam Haba isn't about making more money. That's the frame of reference in which you're doing good things. Is this world, you're rewarded in that frame of reference. But if when you do tzedakah, you do it and you also feel the great value of, I don't have to have this for myself. If I give it to somebody else, I'm giving that person joy. It's such a great thing. It's such a wonderful thing. Then, it's not because of a davar ba'olam. You're not doing it as a pedestrian. You're doing it as an angel. And in that case, you have an entry point of the Olam Haba. Says the Rambam, you don't have to do 307 mitzvahs that way in order to be a citizen of the Olam Haba. All you have to do is one. When you do one and you show that you have that sensitivity, that connection to the Olam Haba, to eternal values, to values that are beyond this world, then you already have that entry point. Of course, Hashem is going to weigh quote-unquote things, you know, schar and oinesh and mitzvahs and averes, and look at the general direction of the person to figure out broader pictures of this definition of tzaddik or rasha. But in terms of opening the door to eternity, that's what we're discussing here. And that has its significance. With one mitzvah done, with the purest of motivation.
I don't understand why that argument wouldn't just be applied generally to performing all mitzvahs. I mean, still, why break it down just to one mitzvah? It seems like you still have that argument, like about, so I'm just going to do this one that's really well, and then murder and rob banks and stuff. You know?
No, no. He, again, if he's going to do many, many averus, then he's not going to, you know, it could still extinguish a lot of other things. But in order to be able to have the mitzvahs translate into a portion in Olam Haba and a connection to Olam Haba, you have to show that you have an appreciation for something beyond that. Again, the Rambam is not in any which way saying, just do one mitzvah and forget about everything else. Of course, you're going to have to do all the other mitzvahs. You're going to have to abide by everything else. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted specifically that we should in some way be able to find a way to develop that aspect of ourselves, which is an appreciation for things beyond this world. And he gave us many ways to develop that appreciation.
So you shouldn't be a jack of all mitzvahs.
Correct. Correct. No, it's a very much the situation. A person has to understand in every realm, like in trades, like in Torah, and like in performance of mitzvahs, that there's going to be one thing that's going to get him. You know, he needs to, you know, you got to have a general curriculum, you know, general, you know, liberal arts science curriculum, you know, but you have a major. Right, you're gonna have something which is gonna be your thing beyond everything else. Okay, that's just, you know, to explain the Rambam. Let's go back to learning the Maharal.
Such a question of how the Maharal missed that.
It's not so pashut.
It doesn't bother you the fact that
well, it doesn't bother you that the fact that the Rambam said something that the Maral had so many kashas on. In other words, you have to understand the Rambam too. The reason why it's not so simple is because, you know, like the questions. But it is complicated because you have to figure out the matrix of considerations. There is still going to be a notion of, you know, reward versus punishment. You're still going to have to take into effect all the other mitzvahs. How exactly this one mitzvah works to get him into Olam Haba, what will it take to crowd that out? You know, if a person did so many averis and so on. It's not simple. It's not simple, this approach in the Rambam. But I think still it's, you know, it opens the door to understanding what he means.
What about the Gemara in HaChelek that says every Jew has a portion of Olam Haba? Only if he earns it? I didn't see a qualifier there, as I remember.
Well, it says the Elu She'en Lam Chelek Olam Haba.
Right, so who are they?
And the following don't have a portion of Olam Haba. And it goes on to list basically the 13 Ikarei HaEmunah. That's what the Rambam, that's the Mishnah where the Rambam gets the 13 principles of faith from. He says you have to believe in the 13 principles of faith to get into the Olam Haba. Right? And those things, to some degree, yeah, it doesn't say, it doesn't speak about doing a specific mitzvah. It doesn't say this principle, this Ikra HaAmuna, what the Rambam calls an Ikra HaAmuna in his Pirush HaMishnayos HaMakos. Right? He doesn't say that. But they are all, the Ikra HaAmuna, are all an appreciation of another worldly quality which is there. I mean, the first five Ikrei HaEmunah are about understanding godliness and how it's not really something of our normal human experience. So it's not a huge leap to translate into this thing that we would now say that, okay, so where does it translate from belief into action? You know, a person just goes with Ikrei HaEmunah. Where does it translate from belief into action? Translates from belief into action and doing an action with just awareness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I don't know. I don't think it's irreconcilable. I don't think it's irreconcilable. Okay. So, the Maral first has to take care of one thing, which is the Rambam brought a raya. The Rambam brought a proof. His proof was that Rav Chanina ben Tradion wanted to know his status of Olam Haba, and the question which Rav Yosi ben Kisma asked him was, just tell me one good story. That's his proof. So what do you do with that? So the Maral says, that's not a kasha. And he first addresses it on a very practical level, and then on a Maralian level. On the practical level, he says, look, when you see that Rav Chanina ben Tradion was such a serious, honest, ethical person, that when all this money got mixed up together, he said, forget it, I'm going to use it all for tzedakah, and he's not going to look for reimbursement, that shows you something about his character. It's not saying necessarily that that action by itself is the cause for him being able to go to Olam Haba, but that action by itself is a symptom of the attitude which he had towards mitzvahs.
It's indicative.
It's indicative. You know, you say, oh, so-and-so is a great person. Really? He's a great person? Tell me something. So you tell him one story about the person. You tell him one story about the Chazon Ish, one story about the Chofetz Chaim, one story about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Oh, because of that he's a great person? Or maybe the next day he went and he robbed the bank? Right? You know, no.
Telltale.
Of course, it's telltale. Excuse the pun. Right? From the story, you see the character of the person. Yeah, there's such a thing as people, right? As, you know, Al Capone having a good day. You know, there could be such a thing. But more naturally is to see the story as symptomatic of the way he is. So, says the Maral, I wouldn't build any fundamentals of faith based on that interpretation of the story. But he goes on and he says, but let's just go a step deeper than that. And he says, look at the specific illustration which he was giving. The specific illustration which he was giving was a maisa that would be able to show him as a ben olam haba. And you're going to see what Maral says over here is something which sounds a lot, like what we were saying in the Rambam, although not exactly what we're saying in the Rambam. Again, still symptomatic. He says, look, he had Mois Purim. What's the money of Purim? Again, Rashi learns the money of Purim was to buy his meal for Purim. Mois Hani, money for the poor, right, is for others. Money of Purim is for himself. The money of Purim is for others. Right, we just mentioned this yesterday when I was talking about the same Razakos Rav Zakis as Yisrael. Right? Remember, the Rambam says a person should better choose to give money to the poor than to eat a big meal in Purim. Using, even though they're both mitzvahs of Purim, one's better. Why? Because the money for the poor is tasting of the greatest simcha, the greatest joy that a person can have, the joy of bringing joy to others, which is that otherworldly pleasure that we've been speaking of here, a pleasure that's not of this world, that's not of the fabric, of the type, of the material of this world. Says the Rambam, that's what he was expressing over here. He says, on the one hand, I had money to take care of my needs for Purim. My physical needs for Purim. You know, the Suras Purim, in many ways, especially in the thought of the Maharal, is to mamish, to take care of yourself physically. Right? You drink on Purim, adilo yada. You know, it's just a focus. He sees Purim as the opposite day of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day of pure spirituality without physicality. Purim is a day of, it seems, in certain ways, pure physicality. Mishta v'simcha. Of course, the idea is to develop the spirituality within that physicality. But basically, you know, that's what it is. That's what it is. That's the thing. So he said, look, I had money for my self-indulgence, and it got mixed up with, so to speak, with money for others, and I gave it all to the money for others. He says, that's trading Olam Haba for Olam Hazeh. Or Olam Hazeh for Olam Haba, more accurately. That's giving up Olam Hazeh for Olam Haba. So he says, that's a Ben Olam Haba. When I see you doing that, when I see you turning back the things of this world for things of another world, I know that you're a Ben Olam Haba. Of course, again, it's not this action for itself, just one event, that will be able to do that. But similarly, Yeshlo, Shechelko Sheyoroi Le'Olam Hazeh, Hu Shomer Le'Olam Haba. You see that he's ready to give up whatever he would have in this world for his portion in the world to come. You know, the tzaddikim, we speak about them, that, you know, they suffer so much in this world, right, but they'll have success in the world to come, right, because this world really isn't their thing. They'll give up in this world, like we see, as Maral says, like Rav Chanina ben Tradin himself, he gets burnt with the Sefer Torah. And in this world, but he's going to have his chelik in the Olam Haba. That's the idea. That's the trade. Parenthetically, I would just note that you know what means Mois Purim. I told you Rashi's pshat over here. More is in a couple of places. There's a question what Mois Purim meant. Some say Mois Purim means actually Matanis Levyonim, the money of Purim, which is given to the Aniyim, right? And it got mixed up with general money of Tzedakah. Money of Purim, which is given to Aniyim, may be needed to be used specifically for the food and the enjoyment of the day. So even if it's tzedakah, but it's this worldly tzedakah, as opposed to tzedakah generally, that's just, you know, taking care of them, because the Aniyim, as the Rambam says, as the Maral says, as you might remember, those of you who are with us for the Netzach Yisrael, when it describes Mashiach as an Ani is someone who characteristic living as an Ani, not getting Mois Purim and therefore living as a wealthy person for a day, right? But an Ani living as an Ani is a Ben Olam Haba, because he's not really experiencing and enjoying the pleasures of this world. Okay, so that's the way he learns that Gemara and takes it away from bringing a proof to the Rambam. It's not because of one deed that you become a Ben Olam Haba. That deed was indicative of his general attitude, and whether it is a general indication of how rigorous he was about doing things right, which is one level, it's a good indication of how careful he was to do things right, or whether it's a general indication of the fact that to him matters of another world were much more important than the matters of this world, which sounds a little bit more like what we learned in the Rambam, but he's saying it as a general indication, not just as something that can be gained through one action alone. Okay.
By the executioner who jumped in the fire? He was pirish in this world, I don't know.
In a sense, yeah. There, the Rambam doesn't bring that as a proof. right? But one could say, oh, there you have it. That's a proof to the Rambam also. Yesh, kaino ilamai b'sha'achas. A person can get his olam haba with one deed, with one action, right? Like that, like you have over there by the executioner. For some reason, the Rambam doesn't bring that as a proof. That line would seem to be the one that says it clearest. Right? It's not just something which comes across through a story. Yesh, kaino ilamai b'sha'achas. The Rambam doesn't bring that as a proof. I don't know why. We could surmise. We could surmise why. You could say simply that the idea was that it wasn't because he did one action in his life, but because this was the last action which he did in his life. Right? A person, we know, can do tshuva at the last moment of their life. So maybe this was his tshuva, and therefore it wiped clean all of the averis, all of the actions of before. Here, what the Rambam is saying is one action in life can do it, not necessarily the last one. Okay. But the Rambam, the Maral doesn't address it because the Rambam doesn't bring it. He's just trying to diffuse his proof. Okay, so back to the ranch. The issue was, why is it a benefit for the Jewish people to have so many mitzvahs? Right? Doesn't that create its own issues, its own problems, its own liabilities to have so many mitzvahs? The Rambam had his pshat that one mitzvah will do it, but the Maral doesn't buy into that one mitzvah will do it. So what does it mean? What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him zakah, so therefore he gave us more mitzvahs. So the Maral here himself has really three approaches which he uses. The main one he brings first, then he brings two others. Hold on, give me half a second. I'm going to talk about the second and third, because he just throws those out very, very quickly. He doesn't expound on them, and they have less global ramifications than the first one, which he gives, which is his main reason. The second interpretation, which Maral has, is saying as follows. He makes an interesting diuk. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael? He says it doesn't say lezakos es ha'adam. So the diuk which he's taking from that is that it's a zchus for the Jewish nation rather than a zchus for an individual person. And he says it's true. Individual people, more mitzvahs maybe perhaps create more of a struggle. But the Torah is not there for one person to keep. The Torah is there for Nasa v'nishma. It's there as a national mandate and a national responsibility. And therefore, when we have all of the Jewish people working together and different people are doing different things, so we end up with a cumulative greatness. That again, an individual, it may be more challenge than anything to have all of these mitzvahs, but put together, it's a great thing. You know, there's a fascinating thing in the Kuzri. The Kuzri speaks about the reason why we daven b'tzibur. He says, you know, maybe you could have better kavana, you know, if you daven by yourself. Sometimes you go to shul, you know, you could have all kinds of distractions, you're worried about what other people think, and other things are going on, right? Maybe somebody near you is finishes Shemoneh Esrei and starts talking to the person next to him. Now, maybe, you know, many would think that if you think about the chveis, you know, the breast livers, everybody else will go into a forest, a place where there's nobody around, in order to be able to concentrate on Hashem. Now, right, those of us who have daven occasionally at home know that it brings its own set of challenges. Right, when you daven b'yichidus, sometimes it could be very, very hard in its own ways. You know, it's like we almost would say it's like six of one, half a dozen of the other, and many times it actually seems like three of one and nine of the other. In other words, it might be easier to, you know, to create a responsible framework for tefillah when we're betzibur, even with the challenges that it brings. But the Kuzri says something fascinating. He says, you know what the idea is? So just tell me something. Okay, so you're going to daven at home and you'll concentrate. You're going to concentrate from Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu till Baruch Atah Hashem HaMavorech Hazam Yisrael Bashalom. Give me a break. You're not going to be able to think your way through the Shemoneh Esrei. Who has kavana from the beginning to the end. No one. So what's the idea? What's the idea? This is Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. So what's the idea? I mean, he writes also about the chassid who doesn't, no word comes out of his mouth without thought. So I shouldn't say, he doesn't say the word no one. He says, we by and large don't have kavanah from the whole thing. But when you're davening b'tzibur, you know what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, this guy was thinking by v'lamashinim al tisikva. This guy was thinking by Mechaya HaMesim. This guy was thinking, right? Four of them were thinking by Rifa'enu. Eight of them were thinking by Baruch Olenu, right? Those are the greatest hits, you know. But but through everybody, there's going to come out a whole tefillah. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi said. Okay, Rishon. Through everybody, you're going to come up with a whole tefillah. That's the value of a tzibur. Right? So you know what? I have a better idea. Make everybody should say Havineinu. You know, one brother, everybody will think about it. Havineinu, though, it's a short, narrow little thing. The whole Shemoneh Esrei is magnificent. So I do a whole magnificent Shemoneh Esrei, but I score 1.100 on that beautiful, magnificent Shemoneh Esrei. Shkoyach, you as an individual score 0.100. But put you together with everybody else, and you end up with something far more magnificent. Says the Maharal, it may not be a benefit to the individual as an individual, but it's a great benefit to the individual as part of the community. That's the thing number one, which he says. A gem. An interpretation. Second gem. Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zach Yisrael Tichim Ter Mitzvos. This is what we could call, perhaps, the Maharal's tough love approach. He says, okay, fine, so it makes it harder. Great. It also creates greater opportunity, right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives less mitzvahs, right? So then, oh, you can pass the test easily. We're going to dumb down the curriculum. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to be able to be great. And the more I give you, the more responsibilities, the more possibilities, the more you have a possibility of being great. So, okay, fine. You'll say, oh, I'd rather have less and be able to get away with less. Big deal. Right? He says, a father can sometimes drill his child to make him better. The son says, I'd rather not, Dad. Right? Let me just graduate elementary school. That'll be enough. The father says, no, I want you to be better. I want you to be greater. I want you to have the opportunity to be greater. Yeah, it doesn't make it. Nobody said it makes it easier. You know, my Rebbe Zichron Levracha, Rabbi Weinberg, used to say that there was a famous machlokes between Shammai and Hillel about Noach Lo'adam Shenivra or Noach Lo'adam Shaloi Nivra, whether it would be Noach for a person to be created or not to be created. So he said, it doesn't say there's a machlokes about whether it's better for a person to be created or not to be created. Of course it's better for a person to be created. Because Baruch Hu would be punishing a person by creating, they'd have machlokes whether Hashem is punishing a person or not punishing a person. No. It's just creation brings with it such responsibilities that it might be easier not to be created. It might be an easier way out. But it's certainly not better. It might be easier. You might opt out of certain things, choose not to have them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu practices paternalism. He says, this is better for you. Right? Whether it's easier for you or not, whether Bal Korcha Chata Yitzer, Bal Korcha Chata Neled, against your will you might be created. But that doesn't mean that it's harmful for you. It's the greatest thing in the world for you. It just be, you would never ask for it, because you know how hard it is. Rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakei Yisrael, because Chibud HaMitzvos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us opportunities. Yeah, there's the possibility of failure. But the possibility of greatness only comes with the Ribui HaMitzvos. Okay, that's another pshat which the Maharal says in the Mishnah. So many beautiful and instructive ways to see the same Mishnah. But let's now tell you what the Maharal really focused on as the pshat in the Mishnah. A Jew is mukhshar to do mitzvahs. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs, mukhshar means a Jew is inclined to do mitzvahs. What does this mean? He's built. He's created with the inclination, with the sensitivity to do mitzvahs. When you read the when you say, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a lot of mitzvahs. So what does that mean? He gave us 50 instructions. You know, somebody says, look, I want you to do a job for me. This is what I want you to do. I want you to drive to Virginia, but I want you to do it exactly following this route. Right? When you get to Virginia, I want you to buy for me something that you can only get in Virginia. Right? But the truth is, I don't want you to just buy it anywhere. I need you to go to such and such a store to buy it for me. And when you go to such and such a store to buy it for me, I want you specifically to pay with singles that are using consecutive serial numbers. Right? And make sure that you get me a receipt, and the receipt should say my name on it, my address, whatever it is. A person, gives you the whole thing. I say, oh my gosh. Why couldn't the guy just tell me, go to Virginia and get me this stuff? Right? Then I wouldn't have to go specifically down this road. You're giving me so many things to do over here. How am I going to be able to do it right? That's the perspective from which the question comes. Hashem gives us all of these mitzvahs. He gives us all these extra expectations, all these extra demands, and it does make it better for us. It makes it harder for us. But now, let's picture another thing. Person says to you, I want you to be able to do something for me. I want you to be able to go to Virginia and to be able to buy this thing for me. So the first thing I'm going to do is, you don't know how to drive. So I'm going to teach you how to drive. Second thing is, you don't have a car. So I'm going to get you a car. The third thing is, I'm giving you these specific directions. How do you know to be able to get the specific directions? So I'm going to get you, what's that thing called? A GPS. I'm going to get you a GPS, that's going to be in your car, and the problem is you have a GPS. I don't ever have to do this. I'm going to train you how to figure out to use the GPS, okay? Not so you're going to hear that annoying lady's voice all the time, right? But I'm going to figure out exactly how to do it, and we're going to program it. I'll teach you how to do it, to program in the route, to be able to do the whole thing. I'm going to give you my credit card, so you're going to be able to get gas fill-ups along the way to be able to get there. Plus, I'm going to tell you how you're going to be able to get singles, right, in sequence and serial numbers. How do you do that? When you go to the bank, they give you singles, they give you water. I'm going to tell you exactly how to get them. In fact, I'm going to give you a bunch of them also. Here's a card with my address on it. You just hand it over to the person so he's going to be able to show you how to fill out the receipt. Or better yet, I'll give you a receipt. What just happened now? Tell me something. Would you rather the guy just said, go to Virginia? You know what you just ended up with? You ended up with driving lessons. You ended up with a car. You ended up with a GPS. You ended up with a credit card. And say, you know what? He made it a lot more demanding, but he gave me all the tools to live up to those demands. Now, I can still blow it. I can still not drive correctly to Virginia. I can still not buy it with using the singles with the consecutive serial numbers and so on and so forth. I can still mess up. But look at the tools he gave me. Says the Maharal, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah and Mitzvahs, he didn't just say, okay, you dolt, you bump on the log over there, I'm telling you to do these 613 things. Every mitzvah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, he gave us a connection to, an inclination to, a capacity for within our personality. He didn't just tell us, go do it, sink or swim. He said, do it, and I'm giving you a connection to it. We've talked about this idea in different contexts. I don't remember if or when we ever talked about it here in this Maharal Shir. This is a fundamental idea. We definitely did talk about it in Maharal Shir. The Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, where the Rambam writes about Kaifin Oisai Ad Sheyayma Reitzani. I had from this already. Yeah. You force him until he says, okay, I want to do it. A get has to be given voluntarily. So you say, okay, but under certain circumstances where he really should be giving a get, we force him until he says, oh, I want to voluntarily do it, right? Right? With six black eyes, right? He wants to voluntarily do it. What exactly does that mean? Explains the Rambam. It's based on the Gemara, but the Rambam expresses it more elaborately and fully. Sometimes, because you have to understand, the guy wanted to do it all the time. Because it's the right thing. And a Jew, always inside of himself, wants to do the right thing. The problem was, he was confused. He was confused by his Yetzer Hara for different kinds of gratifications that told him that he didn't want to do it. That subordinated his true desire. What he really, really wanted. So when you give him the black eyes, you basically you overcome the Yetzer Hara, and you allow his true desire to come forth. Because there's a true desire in every Jew to do the right thing. Right? That's why we call it tshuva, return. It's not self-improvement. It's not building yourself up to be better. It's bringing yourself back to the way you were created to be, to your natural way of doing things, which is to do things right. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvahs, he gave us a broad realm, a broad range of sensitivities, a broad range of things which we have appreciation of. Right, you brought up last week what the Maharal wrote 2 prokim ago about the child, Le'elein Rachman al-Tzan, who dies in infancy, that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that he's Mezuman L'chayelam Abba. Why? He never had a chance to do anything. Okay, but if some physical barrier, like death, gets in the way of him doing something, or other physical barriers get in the way of him doing something, it's still his mitzvah. It's just, as Rav Asi or Rav Ami used to say, right, I want to do your will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what can I do? There are things which are getting in the way. You have to understand, that's where I am. Home terrain for me is doing the right thing. Right? So this child, Nebuch, their life was cut short. So they never got a chance to act on it, to follow it through. They never got a chance to act on it and to follow it through. But they're there. Machshava Tova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa L'Maisa. Right, a good thought, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it like an action by a Jew. That's where we're considered to be. That's considered to be our home terrain. Rahal even goes on and says, you think all the Jews who were in Golus, and because of the situation, the material situation of the Jews in Golus, were limited from doing all of these mitzvahs, you think they weren't theirs? You think they aren't ours? Of course they're ours. We would do them if we would just be given the chance. Where does that come from? That comes from the fact that Hashem gave us the mitzvah. Giving us the mitzvah isn't, again, just telling us the instruction, sitting back in our big fat leather chair and saying, I want you to do this, that, and the other. Go figure out how to do it. When Hashem gave us the mitzvah, He put it into us. We ever have a chance to learn the Meshech Chochma in Parshas Nitzavim, Ki korev eilecho hadavar ma'oid b'ficho v'lvavcho la'asaisai. It says the Torah is not in the heavens, it's not overseas, it's close to you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth to do it. He explains this whole idea, traces it through the stages. It's not something you have to go and get. It's something which is within you. So you understand now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yizaka, the Jewish people, He gave them Torah mitzvahs. So you say, wait a second, will we execute? Will we be able to follow through? Of course, there's going to be many times when we won't be able to. Hashem gave us the sensitivities. He gave us now the personality of Torah mitzvahs. He gave us that internal and inherent connection to Torah mitzvahs. That's big. That's his chus for the Jewish people. So this is, in the big picture of the Tiferes Yisrael, you understand now why he emphasizes it. Right? The last two things we said, okay, they're very important. The last two reasons which he says are very important. He's giving it to the whole nation, even though it might not help the individual. Right, he gives it to us because we know the Torah can make us grow, and you got to take it. Whether you may say it's easier for me not to, right? But Hashem wants to give it to us so we can maximize, we can have the fullest. But here, this is an insight into Matan Torah. This is an insight into Matan Torah. Matan Torah isn't just giving instructions. Matan Torah is giving tools, giving sensitivities, giving an inclination. When Hashem gave us the 613 mitzvahs, He wasn't just giving us marching orders. He was giving us a driver's license. He was giving us a car. He was giving us a GPS. He was giving us all of the tools that bring us to mitzvahs. That's Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zachis Es Yisrael L'Fikha Chibram Tar Mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Zechus to the Jewish people, and therefore he said, I want to give them Torah and Mitzvah with all the inherent sensitivities that they will have as a result. To the nations of the world, I gave them Sheva Mitzvahs. So the nations of the world, they have a basic moral instinct, right? They have those mitzvahs, they have the tools, they have an appreciation for those Sheva Mitzvahs. You look in the Meshech Chachma there, he writes about it beautifully that way. They have that instinct. They have that natural thing. But in the Jew, I'm going to create much more elaborate and sophisticated spiritual instincts for higher things, for greater things. So he gave us Torah Mitzvahs. He gave us a full-blown level and layers of sensitivities and appreciations. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakas. Not more commands alone, but more tools.
Spiritually.
Correct.
Sensitize us
to all these things.
That was the gift. That's
the gift. And it's a great gift. It's beautiful pshat in the Mishnah. It's mamash beautiful pshat in the Mishnah, no? Okay.
That's an example with